Hi, Minnesota Bound podcast listeners. I'm realtor Heather Womack. I grew up in Minnesota and love all the outdoor activities we have here. In fact, I love Minnesota so much that I moved back here from Europe to raise my family in the land of beautiful hikes, refreshing clear lakes, and winter fun. That's why I'm reaching out to the listeners of the Minnesota Bound podcast. As a realtor, I've helped hundreds of folks buy their first home, sell the home they have, purchase a lake cabin, or start investing in Minnesota real estate. If you love adventure but need some new scenery, call me. My website is heatherwomackrealty.com. That's Heather Womack, W-O-M-A-C-K, realty.com.
Well, hey there. Bill Shirk, the man about the woods. I'm just sitting downstairs at my old roll-top desk. It's actually my grandfather's desk, and now it's got all my little trinkets on it, and it's where I work when I'm at home. And I got tired of looking at youth hockey rosters and practice plans, so I'm taking a break from coaching to talk a little bit about the Minnesota Bound podcast, the stories behind the stories, and an outdoor adventure that I'm just home from with the help of the Minnesota Bound team. Of course, each week, the Minnesota Bound podcast is presented by water, Connecticut Water Treatment Systems, clean, safe, great tasting water. Also, the Minnesota Propane Association, our good friends at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, and of course, Star Bank, the bank we use at MinnesotaBound.com. And finally, I'd like to welcome our newest partner, Heather Womack of Caldwell Banker Realty. Welcome to the Minnesota Bound podcast, and thanks so much for your sponsorship. Okay, it's time to get to today's story. And my partner in crime for this one says he is locked and loaded.
Yes, sir.
Director of Photography, Aaron Ochtenberg. How the heck are you?
I am good. I'm warm. I'm... home in my home office, and it's a lot easier to look back on a winter story than it is a winter camping story than it is to look forward to one, sort of.
That hurts. We always joke that over the years he is a glutton for punishment, because Aaron volunteers to go out on these shoots, and the two keywords, warm and home. See, together, we were just up in Voyageurs National Park, which is up in far northern Minnesota, just off of the Canadian border. And of course, the big weather story around this part of the world has been the sub-zero temperatures. How sub, Aaron?
Well, we drove up Monday, last week Monday. Spent the night at Arrowhead Lodge, and the next morning we woke up to pack sleds and gear, and it was negative 34 degrees.
Yeah, but it's a dry cold.
Yeah, it's a dry cold.
As Chevy Chase once said, I assure you. Yeah, we have been dealing with just brutally cold temperatures. In fact, at points it was closer to 41 below zero. I was talking to a buddy who works up there, and we were chuckling because at 44 below zero, propane stops flowing in systems. So they were worried about having heat for their lodge and for their fishing shacks out on the lake. But you and I decided we were going to hop on snowmobiles with a bunch of winter camping gear, alongside Mike Dario, who runs Arrowhead with his wife, and we were going to go off the map, so to speak, into the backcountry of Voyageurs National Park and set up a winter camp, which, yes, it's cold, but we kind of had an easy go being able to pull gear in on snowmobiles. That was a nice change of pace.
It's a super nice change of pace. Typically, we have everything on sleds, and we're pulling them with manpower. And fortunately, this time we got to use Polaris snowmobile power. So it didn't seem like we went that far on snowmobiles, but if we were to walk that whole way, it would have taken us days.
Yes, days and days, because a 20-minute snowmobile ride, you know, pulling a gear sled is miles and miles back.
Yeah.
Where, you know, hiking 4 hours gets you 2 miles if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And
it allowed us to be a little spoiled on this trip because we could bring more gear, heavier gear than we normally would if you're pulling it in by yourself. So,
yes. So we were a little bit smart. We tried something different. We pulled in some firewood, actually, that was kiln dried and from the area. It sort of felt like cheating because we had the okay to cut dead wood for the wood stove in our winter tent. But it was nice to have an extra sled full of that pine. It was glorious. Yeah.
It was glorious. I think I cut, I think I made 4 cuts of firewood the whole trip, which is way better than like 40.
So the whole reason I want to talk to you is we get ourselves into these situations. We get to camp. Mike wants to build a Quincy or a snow cave to try that. So we spend a half an hour shoveling up a big pile of snow on the edge of the lake. We also set up the Seek Outside winter teepee, which can, you know, comfortably have 4 of us seated in there around a wood stove doing our thing. And that's where you chose to shack up on this trip.
Yep.
And it was funny because Mike kept looking at me. Again, we're dealing with frigidly cold temperatures. I don't want to call it dangerously cold because as long as you are geared up correctly, you know, not that big a deal. But he kept looking at me like, where are you going to sleep tonight? What are you going to do? And for me, that is so much of what these trips are about, right? I love snow caves. At certain times, I love sleeping in the hot tent, but I like to challenge myself on these sorts of trips. So I really didn't have a plan per se in mind. And finally, the sun was going down. I just shoveled out a little wedge out of the snow that was drifted up on the corner of the lake and, you know, threw up a little tarp held up by a couple of my trekking poles and threw the sleeping bag down. And that's fun stuff. When you get into these trips, are you nervous about night and sleeping? What's on your mind?
Oh, man. Yeah, I guess it's like any backwoods adventure, summer, winter, anything. You're always a little nervous, and I think that's a good thing because if you're not nervous, you're probably not preparing yourself for everything that could come your way.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel it so much this trip because I don't know, maybe the snowmobiles added a extra level of safety or comfort that I knew if I was just felt like I was dying of cold, a 20-minute, 30-minute snowmobile ride, I could be somewhere safe and warm. But it's really a mindset, you know, in the weeks leading up to these adventures, you know, I'll take my dogs out for a walk and it'll be 5 degrees. And I think, wow, I'm going to die winter camping because I can't be outside for more than 20 or 30 minutes. And I'm going to be outside for 3 or 4 days. No way. It's just not happening. So yeah, I'm nervous, which, you know, I said is good. And you prepare and, you know, knock on wood so far, we've always come home with all our fingers and toes.
Yes, although I will tell you, there was one point on this trip where, you know, hands are up when you're driving the snowmobiles. And at one point, my right pinky got cold and a little bit numb, which I chuckled about because that doesn't happen very often. And I had just a few minutes of worry, like, is this going to turn into a bad deal or will I get back on track? And got back on track. But anyhow, your sleep system. Okay, so you're setting up in the teepee, which is a sill nylon teepee. That's just, you know, thin tent material. But you've got a nice steel wood stove with an ample supply of firewood. So what's your setup? I mean, when you're getting ready to go down for the night and get whatever, 8 to 10 hours of sleep, how are you sleeping? What are you sleeping on? How do you prepare?
So we set up on the ice. So we shoveled a big circle for the teepee all the way down to the lake ice, set up on the ice. So set up the teepee, set up the wood stove, all this stuff. So our floor is basically the top of the ice. So to set up my bed, I shoveled in snow. After we just shoveled all the snow out, I brought snow back in to make, I don't know, 3-4 inch platform on the ice for my bed. Number one, it's just a little more comfortable than sleeping on the hard ice. It's just a little bit of cushion. But number two, it raises you up off the floor. When you have a wood stove on ice, any ice fisherman knows if you got a heat in there, you're going to get a puddle. So it also mm-hmm. raises me up above any chance of any kind of a puddle in there. So I've got, you know, a nice bed platform. Then I put down just a classic tarp, you know, just a tarp anyone has just to make it waterproof underneath me. Then I lay down a Therm-a-Rest insulated cushioned bed. And then I put down a Wiggy's bag. I think it was a 20 degree bag or 0 degree bag.
I think like your Wiggies that. It's a 0 degree.
0 degree bag. So I put that on top of the Therm-a-Rest, and inside of that, I put another sleeping bag, a down 20 degree bag. And I know there's formulas to figure out what that rates to, but so that's my setup. And then I try to put my clothes bag at the head of my bed so I'm not sliding off the top end, sort of, so my pillow's not getting away from me, and just kind of boxes me in so I know where I'm at all the time. Then I have a pillow, and then since we were spoiling ourselves, bringing all the gear we wanted, I also brought a little fleece blanket, which makes almost kind of a fur ruff around my face and shoulders. Mm-hmm. So if I move around, I'm not drawn in cold air. If I slide and open up the volume of the bag and cold air comes rushing in, that kind of slows it down and just kind of feels nice around your face and helps with some of the condensation from your breath and all that stuff. So
somebody's going to ask, why do you need all that if you've got a wood stove going?
Well, you should always be prepared, I think, to sleep without the wood stove. So just in case, for whatever reason, you run out of firewood in the middle of the night or whatever, you just sleep all the way through the night, ideally, and the fire goes out, you're still comfortable because you don't want to wake up cold in the middle of the night. And the only way you can warm up is to crawl out of your sleeping bag and fire up the stove and hope that all goes okay.
Right. So. And the temperature fluctuation, if you've got the stove going in the evening, odds are when you go to bed, it's going to be, 70 degrees in that tent. And when you wake up, it can be 30, 35 below zero. That's 100 degree temperature swing. That's crazy. Drastic.
Well, and, you know, as everyone knows, hot air rises, you're in a teepee. So if you stand up, your face is 80 degrees, but if you lay down in your sleeping bag all the way on the floor or ice, it's, 40 degrees down there. So 40, 50 degrees.
All right. I want to get to the 3P rule, which is one of the great ones when it comes to this sort of adventure camping. But first we need to pay just a couple of bills. Up first, Kinetico. You know, the Shirk family loves Kinetico water. No secret there. In fact, I had jugs of it out for our winter camping trip. You know, back home, we live in the country and we have that ironclad well water. Good news and bad news, right? Well, we treat all of our water with Kinetico's whole home water treatment system. We also use Kinetico's K5 drinking water system. You know all that white buildup, that chalky stuff you get around your faucets with Kinetico? That is completely gone. Our dishes are spotless. Our laundry is clean and smells fresh. You know, Katie will tell you that she loves what the water does for her hair and her skin. And it's become a theme lately. The Shirk Boys have fallen in love with Kinetico water before soccer practices, before hockey practices. They religiously fill their bottles with Kinetico water. That's a pretty good indication of what Kinetico water can do for your family. Hey, do what the Shirks did. Call Kinetico and look forward to clean, safe water. We'd also like to thank the Minnesota Propane Association.
Hey, I'm Laura Shera, and did you know, according to the Environmental Protection Agency Energy Star program, that propane is almost 3 times more efficient than grid electricity? We all care about our planet, so let's use energy efficiently to reduce our environmental footprint. You can heat your homes, your water, your cabins, your businesses with propane. The right energy right now. Propane, clean American energy. For more information, go to propane.com.
Okay, back to the story. Behind the story. The Minnesota Bound Podcast. I'm Bill Shirk, the man about the woods, and along for today's adventure, our director of photojournalism, Aaron Ochtenberg. So we're just home from a trip where we were up in Voyageurs National Park, a remote wilderness up in far northern Minnesota. Lots of snow on the ground, lots of cold temps. I'm talking 30 below zero. And Aaron, you crawl in for bed inside the hot tent, which is our teepee with the wood stove. But before you click out the light, we have this thing that we've always done. Not together.
Never together.
Never together, but always important. It's called the 3P rule. Talk about that.
Well, when you're winter camping and the temperature is 25 below zero at night, the last thing you want to do is crawl out of your sleeping bag and walk outside and go to the bathroom. So before you crawl into your nice warm sleeping bag, you want to pee. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. Obviously not in a row, because that wouldn't work.
That guy has talent.
Within the last, I don't know, hour, you really want to do your best to empty your bladder. So you don't have to get up in the middle of the night. So the 3P rule.
And that is something that I try to do religiously, because growing up, I had a bad knack for not doing so well, and that 3 a.m. call is one of the worst sensations on the planet. First off, it takes you a little while when you're inside multiple sleeping bags and sub-zero temps to get bundled up and inside and comfortable and everything just kind of relaxed. But it is frightening, right? That 90 seconds as you get out and try to get frozen boots on and sneak outside someplace safe and do your business. So 3 P's, don't ever forget that. It's kind of a rule of thumb, and a lot of very experienced explorers live by that rule. You know, there are tricks. I can remember a good friend of mine, to remain unnamed, back in our scout days, he would bury, true story, a little plastic tube in our snow caves, in our Quinsies, so he could just roll over at night. And I always thought that was the weirdest thing. I saw Keith do that on occasion or two.
He said he was going to go unnamed.
Well, I didn't give you his last name.
No, you named him.
I'm sure I'll get a call from Keith. Or the other trick that people talk about, which I think is so dangerous, is the Nalgene bottle. Oh, I just keep an empty water bottle in with me. And you hear horror stories about that deal going wrong. Theater of the mind, right? So just before you go to bed, worry about the 3 P's.
Yes.
All right, so you click out the light. Meanwhile, I'm outside and, you know, I actually used a 3 sleeping bag system on this trip, which worked really, really well. I never kind of settle on the same setup. I'm always fidgeting and trying new stuff. So on the outside, I had a extra wide synthetic sleeping bag by a company called Nemo. And what I like about it is, first off, it's wide, so I can get the other bags inside without everything getting too squished. But it's got a sleeve on the bottom that holds my air mattress in place. During the winter, everything's cold and very slippery, so it's nice to just have that locked underneath. On top of that, I put one of the reflective foam pads, which helps really hold in my body heat. Then on the inside of the Nemo bag, I had, like you, a 0-degree Wiggies synthetic sleeping bag, which is medium width, I'll call it. So I'm like those little Russian dolls, you know, just
sport one cut.
One inside the other, and husky. and then inside that bag, I had a 0-degree down Nemo feather bag. Again, it takes a little while, right? You get into the first cocoon, get zipped up and comfortable. Then you have to get the second bag zipped up and the third. But once you get settled in, man, is it cozy. And it was funny because that first night, kind of sleeping out under the stars, I would look out to my left in complete darkness and I could see the Big Dipper. And you guys had kind of settled in over where you were. And I drifted off to sleep. And then I woke up. Bah! And I thought, oh my gosh, I've been asleep for, you know, 10 minutes. And I looked over and the Big Dipper wasn't right at the tree line. It was, you know, almost up above us. And I kind of chuckled. And that became kind of my timer for the night. If I'd wake up and look around, I'd peek to see where that was. But those still nights in the woods on those sub-zero nights, I don't know. There's just something magical about sleeping in those conditions. Do you wake up 20 times a night, or do you kind of go away and just sleep?
I kind of did both on this trip. The first night, I felt like I woke up quite a few times, and probably just because it was the first night and you just still kind of adjusting to everything. Second night, I was just gone. I mean, I think I woke up twice to throw a little wood in the stove, but otherwise I was just out.
Yeah. And that is a good thing, right? Like it's really good sleep when you've got the right system. The second night I snuck over to the Quincy, or the second day, because it wasn't going to be used by Mike. So I said, well, I'll move in. So I crawled into the snow cave with the same system. And sleeping in a Quincy, first off, I don't know, for those of you who have ever been in a snow fort or dug your little snow tunnel growing up, snow has this smell to it. And it's very distinct to snow, right? Like when you're in there, you just know that smell. So first, I'm so used to sleeping in Quincy's that smell is kind of calming to me. And the other thing about a snow cave is they are so deathly silent. You don't hear a thing except your own heart pounding and ears ringing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like a sensory deprivation tank.
Little bit,
you know, at night it's so dark you can't tell if your eyes are open or closed.
Correct.
And it's so quiet. Yeah, all you hear is the blood rushing through your brain. It's really something else, and it's so still and quiet, and I don't know, it's a great way to sleep for sure.
I feel bad. I've never heard blood rushing through my brain. What does that mean?
The empty vacuum of your skull.
you just hear the whistling sound of it. That might be the meanest thing you've ever said.
Hey, you brought it up.
There is sensory deprivation for sure. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons, you know, those little tea candles. Yep. I think that's one of the reasons I've always loved to have even a single tea candle burning. They go for hours, right? There's zero draft to blow them out. But when you're surrounded by snow, you know, that single candle lumen is enough light. And at those times where you do wake up, instead of feeling lost, or you just have that little bit of light, and it gives you just, you know, direction. And the candle's almost like a little bit of a friend, as weird as that sound, but it's just very calming. Yeah, in a snow cave.
As long as your friend is a safe distance from all of your flammable items. Yes.
Well, of course. And the way I do that, you know, in the old days, we used to just, you know, you take your hand, you carve out a little hole in the wall and just make it big enough so that the snow wouldn't drip down, and just kind of have a snow shelf. But I like what I do these days is, you know, I just cut a little shingle of wood from our firewood, and you just almost use that like a little shelf that you slide into the snow, and then the candle just sits level. So I've got one more thing I want to talk about. The wolves that were in the area on the trip. But first, it's time to pay a few more bills. I'd like to thank Star Bank, a longtime sponsor of Minnesota Bound.
Hi there, Ron Shera here for Star Bank. If you're putting your money into mega banks down the street, who knows where that money's being used? Bank locally. Keep your money local with a community bank that actually cares about you, your family, your business, and your goals. Check out the bank we use at Minnesota Bound. Try Minnesota's own Star Bank. You can find them online at starbank.net. When you call Star Bank, you actually hear a real living person answering the phone. Star Bank has 10 convenient locations around Minnesota to serve you and all the mobile banking products that you need to manage your money. Check out all that Star Bank has to offer at starbank.net.
And of course, who could forget the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources?
I just want to thank the Minnesota DNR, and as we know, Minnesota's wildlife management area are a vast array of lands across all of Minnesota, and there are approximately 1,400 wildlife management areas that are valued for wildlife in Minnesota's outdoor recreation opportunities. So speaking of recreation, to find out more about Minnesota's wildlife management areas, you can go to mndnr.gov/WMAS.
So we're a couple of days into our frigid winter camp up in Voyageurs National Park. Aaron Ochtenberg, our director of photojournalism, is my trip mate on these cool adventures. No pun intended. You're shooting television shows. You're also experiencing, you know, these adventures as they unfold. But how much wolf sign did we see on the trip?
Oodles of wolf sign?
Oodles of wolf.
Wherever you went, we saw tracks. Wherever we, on the snowmobile trail, on the edge of the lakes, everywhere. It was quite unbelievable.
Yeah, they're around. And it was funny because I had just finished before the trip reading a story about this transplanted wolf that was out on Isle Royal, which is a big island out on Lake Superior. And a couple years ago, that portion of the lake froze. And so that wolf had a land bridge and got back off the island to the mainland. And one of the areas they tracked that wolf over a couple of years was Voyageurs National Park, really right up against where we were camped. So it was interesting to be there and see so much sign. Knowing that those critters are around, does that change your mentality at night, or is that just not on your radar?
I could be way off base here, so I'm just going to say that as a disclaimer. I do not know that much about wolves, but I've never felt scared of wolves. And I'm sure if I ever got in close proximity with them, it might change how I feel, but I just feel like I don't know, around here, I don't feel like they're going to mess with you in camp.
Yeah.
I could be totally off base there, but I just have, I've never had a great fear of being attacked by wolves. You know, I think if you were, you know, there, I don't think they'd approach camp. We've got four snowmobiles there. We've got two tents, a Quincy, you know, it just doesn't seem like a place they would want to approach. I'm sure if they were starving or having other problems, they would come to camp. But, you know, if you're out in a survival situation all by yourself, I might feel differently for sure. But with a group of people in a big camp, I don't feel worried.
Bill's cooking this trip. We don't have to worry about animals coming into camp. No, I think I feel the same, right? Every time I've had interaction with wild wolves in my life, they always have seemed very curious, but timid, right? Come take a peek, look at you, and then just kind of go away. Yeah. You know, you hear stories where they're circling and you hear them around, but, you know, the first night I will tell you that I woke up and it was, I don't know, felt like 4 a.m., something like that. And I thought I could hear a single wolf across the lake. You know, just a couple of calls from it. And that was about it. But I just laid there for a couple of minutes listening. It's actually, for me, a pleasant part of the trip, right? Like you, I'm not worried about necessarily getting taken out by a, you know, rabid wolf. It's more of a calming sensation of, you know, these woods aren't empty. There's other life that shares the environment with us.
Yes.
Is that too thick?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's their world, right? They're here long before any of us were around. And they'll probably be here long after. You know, it's their world and we get to share it with them for a little while. Maybe that's too thick. But it's
borderline, but not bad.
it's why you go out there, right?
Yeah.
To get, you know, away from people and into nature, and that's a sign that you're there.
And with the right gear, you come home, you clean up, and you rejuvenate, and you want to do it again. It's funny because I'm sure you get the same feedback from people in your circle. You did what?
Mm-hmm. Are you crazy?
What's wrong with you?
It was how cold?
Right. You know? And it's amazing. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And you are experiencing something that, you know, the less than 1% on this planet experiences. And maybe that's why we document these stories.
Well, yeah, to share with people who will never do it for a variety of reasons. Don't have the gear, don't have the want to, but they're still curious and they'd like to see how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Until they go to my outbuilding today, because there are tents hanging and sleeping bags that have been washed that are drying, and pots and pans and gear sleds, and it takes a tremendous amount of work. I will never lie about that, right?
Yes.
You have to clean gear. You have to get the stoves cleaned up, all the dirty dishes. You know, things need to be put back in place, batteries recharged. But in some ways, these trips are about the process too. You always hear that. And we've just been home a couple of days, but I'm ready to do it again.
Yeah.
So
you got something planned, Bill?
Do you have any interest?
Yeah, you always say there's always work to do in winter camp, preparing before, unloading after, and certainly during. There's always work to do because everything is a little slower, takes a little longer. But
yeah.
It's fun. It's it's the stuff you want to focus on, because it's, you know, what it's all you have to do in that moment is make sure you have firewood, make sure you're eating, make sure you got water. You're always boiling down some snow. There's always something to do, but it's,
yep,
it's important stuff. It's not the day-to-day stuff at home that sometimes doesn't always matter. This stuff really matters. You want to be cold tonight? No? Well, cut some wood.
Then do something about it, right? Yep. And that's maybe why I like cooking in camp so much, because it's not a race.
Yeah, right.
You got to get it done, because we got to get the kids to practice or whatever it is. It's, no, it's, you know, 5 o'clock, the sun's going down. It's time to spend a couple hours together. And maybe that's the highlight of the trip. Mike Dario, who was on the trip, talked about it repeatedly. Here we are together in a common place. Thank goodness we've got this 12-man teepee so we can socially distance, but we're still in common space around a fire, trading stories, being social, communicating with people, no electronics, face to face, and that's special.
Yeah, it's what humans have done for thousands of years, is sit around a campfire at night, share food, share stories. And I think that's what people crave.
Well, hopefully we get that across in the story. Watch for our Voyagers National Park adventure in Minnesota Bound, the TV show. Octi, thanks so much. You are the best at what you do, and man, you're a ton of fun to travel with.
Well, thanks, man. You are as well. I love the trips.
How? I don't really know what that means, but it's supposed to be a wolf call. Hey, thanks again for catching the Minnesota Bound podcast, the stories behind the stories. It's important that we thank all the sponsors that help us get this to you each week. Of course, the podcast is presented by Connecticut Water Treatment Systems. Clean, safe, great tasting water. Also, the Minnesota Propane Association. Our good friends at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And Star Bank, the bank we use at MinnesotaBound.com. And who could forget our newest partner, Heather Womack of Caldwell Banker Realty. Heather, thanks for your support, and thanks to all of our sponsors. That about does it for us. Until next week, Aaron, what do we always say?
Introduce a kid to the great outdoors.